Good morning, and Gemar Chassima Tovah. Welcome to the 28th Annual Hausman Stern Kinos Tshuva Lectures of the Rabbi Isaac O'Connor Theological Seminary at Yeshiva University. The Hausman Stern Kinos Tshuva Lectures, both in New York and in Yerushalayim, were established by the late Gerson Hausman and his wife Judith Hausman, Aleihem HaShalom, in memory of their respective parents, Elias J. and Mary Stern and Moshe and Chava Hausman, Zichronam Livracha, in 1984. The Hausman children are Dr. Miriam Hausman, Dr. Evelyn Jakovovich, and Reva Hausman. We're privileged to have with us today Dr. Miriam Hausman, Dr. Evelyn Jakovovich, and other members of the family, Barry Krauss, Leah Botnick, Jane Sinner, and Jack and Rosalind Eisenberg. And it's a tremendous plus for our yeshiva to hold these lectures every single year. We learn in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yurches Amud Aleph, that the pasuk that was just recently laid on Som Gedalia, Dirshu Hashem Mihimatzo, Kira'u Bi'oso Karo, that one should seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu during those times when he is near, during those times when he is accessible, according to the Gemara, refers to Elu Asar Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah LeYom HaKippurim. Refers to this period of time, the 10 days, what we commonly refer to as the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. These are days in which we are called out to come closer, to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, what is the best way of reaching out? So the Derech Emunah says that we have an indication from another pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Toldos of one way in which we can draw near to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is, we're told that when Rivka needed to be Doresh, needed to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vatelech L'Droshes Hashem, where did she go? L'Beis Midrasho, Shel Shem Be'Eber. This is a time in which we have to cling to Tamidei Chachamim, and it's a time in which we can be especially inspired by shiurim, by Torah lectures given by our Torah giants in each generation. Our yeshiva is blessed to have many Torah giants in our midst. We're blessed with many of our Rosh Yeshiva, whom I acknowledge now, Rabbi Chalap, Rabbi Schechter, Rabbi Blau, Rabbi Adler, Rabbi Konigsberg, who will be giving the Tshuva lecture, and many others who are in this room with us today, who give shiurim and inspire our Talmidim daily in our Batei Midrashos, in our Shir classrooms. And one such spectacular exemplar of the Talmidei Chachamim in our yeshiva is none other than Rabbi Eliakim Konigsberg. Rabbi Konigsberg has been a stalwart member of our yeshiva since he entered MTA as a classmate of mine 32 years ago, and has never left the sacred space of our yeshiva since that time. He has grown to become a phenomenal Talmid Chacham, a phenomenal Baal Masbir, somebody who explains with tremendous clarity and depth deep and complex Torah concepts. Scores of Talmidim flock to Rabbi Konigsberg's shiur every single day, and it's truly a schus, a tremendous privilege and pleasure for us today to be able to hear words of Torah and inspiration from Rabbi Konigsberg. Birshus, Rabbi Reese, Rabbi Chalap, Rabbi Blau, Rav Schechter Shlita, Rabbi Adler, members of the Hausman and Stern families, distinguished guests, and dear Talmidim. We're standing just a few short days before Yom Kippur. The aura of tshuva is in the air. We all feel the need to try to improve, to try to change ourselves in some meaningful way so that we can be zocheh b'din.
But sometimes it's frustrating. We feel that we've tried this all before. We've taken the practice of tshuva seriously, but somehow it just hasn't brought us to where we think we should be. We haven't changed as much as we should have. Yes, our feelings of tshuva in the past have been heartfelt, but the effect of our tshuva hasn't always been lasting. And so we come to Yom Kippur every year with mixed feelings. We certainly want to do tshuva, but the goal seems so elusive. How can we make it work? What can we do to make our tshuva more effective, more lasting? I think that a careful reading of certain sections of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva can give us a much needed insight which can totally transform the process of tshuva for us. Let's begin by asking several questions on the Rambam, and then we'll try to answer them with one fundamental principle. The Rambam starts Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, with the following statement. Source 1. Kol ha-mitzvah sheba-Torah, bein atzei, bein lo tzatzei, im avar adam alachas mehen, bein bezodon, bein mishkoga, kishiyaz tshuva v'yoshev mecheto, chayev li'esvados lifnei akel baruch hu. If a person violates any of the mitzvahs of the Torah, whether intentionally or unwittingly, when he does tshuva, he must confess before Hashem. Says the Rambam, uvidui ze mitzvah tzatzei. Vidui, the confession of one's averos, is a mitzvah. Many have pointed out the obvious difficulty in this presentation of the Rambam. It would appear as though the Rambam understands that there's no mitzvah to do tshuva. The mitzvah is to confess one's averos, to say vidui, when one decides to do tshuva. Tshuva, it would seem, is the context which requires a person to perform the mitzvah of vidui. That's how the Minchas Chinuch and others understood the Rambam. But this is troubling for several reasons. First of all, why should vidui be counted as a mitzvah and not tshuva? Isn't vidui just part of the larger process of tshuva? What's more, so many Nevi'im have called out to Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. If tshuva isn't a mitzvah, if it's only a matter of personal choice, then why the call for tshuva? Perhaps most difficult is the fact that the Rambam himself seems to count tshuva as a mitzvah. In the heading to Hilchos Tshuva, where he lists all of the mitzvos mentioned in that section, the Rambam writes in Source 2, Mitzvah tzayachas v'yishayoshev achote mecheto l'tnei Hashem v'yisvade. There's one mitzvah mentioned here, that a bal aveira should do tshuva and confess. Here the Rambam clearly implies that tshuva is part of the mitzvah. It's not just a context for the mitzvah of vidui. So why doesn't the Rambam say so in the text of Hilchos Tshuva? The Rav gave a famous answer to this question. He suggested that perhaps the Rambam understood that there are two components to the mitzvah of tshuva. There's the maisa mitzvah, the action that a person must perform. That's the vidui, the confession. But there's also the emotional state that a person achieves through the vidui, the transformation of spirit that a person undergoes as a result of the process of tshuva, what the Rav called the kiyum belev. Said the Rav, the Rambam certainly felt that the mitzvah of tshuva can be fulfilled only if a person experiences a change of heart. Tshuva requires a kiyum belev. That's why in his heading to Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam does mention tshuva as part of the mitzvah. But in the Mishnah Torah itself, the Rambam focuses only on the actions that a person has to perform to fulfill a mitzvah. That's why in the Mishnah Torah, he mentions only the Maisa mitzvah of vidui, Chayev li'esvados lifnei hakel baruch hu. This is the Rav's explanation for the Rambam. It's a beautiful perish, but the language of the Rambam seems to indicate otherwise. Because the Rambam writes, Uvidui ze mitzvah sasei. This seems to imply that the Rambam understood that vidui is part of the kiyum mitzvah of tshuva. It's not just the maisa mitzvah. It's not just what a person has to do to fulfill the mitzvah. It's the essence of the mitzvah. It's the kiyum mitzvah. Vidui ze mitzvah sasei. But if that's the case, that the Rambam here is describing the kiyum mitzvah, then why does he emphasize the component of vidui in the mitzvah of tshuva and ignore the machsheves halev that is so central to tshuva? This is the first question that I'd like to ponder together with you. The second question relates to a Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Teshuva Halacha Zayin. The Rambam there writes in source 3, Yom HaKippurim Uzman Teshuva Lakol Liyachid Ulerabim. Yom Kippur is a time of teshuva for everyone, for the individual and for the collective community. V'hukeit mechilo slicha liYisrael, and it's a time for atonement and forgiveness for all of Klal Yisrael. L'fika chayavin akol lasos tshuva ulehisvados biyom haKippurim. Therefore, all are obligated to do tshuva and to confess on Yom Kippur. The Rambam here seems to say that there's an obligation to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Chayavin akol lasos tshuva. This is the well-known shita of Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, Shabbos, Mitzvah Saseh, Min HaTorah, Lahoyad, Mesrucho, Lachza, V'tshuva, B'Yom HaKippurim, Shenema, Mikol Chatosechem, Lifnei Hashem Titor. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that there's a special mitzvah for a person to arouse his spirit to do tshuva on Yom Kippur based on the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Titor. But the Rambam doesn't quite say that. He doesn't say mitzvah saseh lasos tshuva b'yom haKippur, as he says in Perek Aleph, uvidu izeh mitzvah saseh. The Rambam just writes, chayov en hakol lasos tshuva. There's a chiyuv, there's an obligation to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. It doesn't sound like this is a special mitzvah deraisa. And the proof is, the Rambam doesn't quote the pasuk, lifnei Hashem titor. The Rambam seems to understand that the obligation to do tshuva on Yom Kippur is simply in order to be zocher to the Slichu Mechila of Yom Kippur. All the Rambam meant to say is that since Yom Kippur is a day of Kapara, and we paskin that Itzumo Shel Yom, the day of Yom Kippur itself, is not Mechaper without Tshuva, therefore a person has to do Tshuva to receive that Kapara. But there's no independent mitzvah to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur. It's just that in order to receive the Kapara of Yom Kippur, a person has to do Tshuva. What's strange about this halacha of the Rambam is not the second part, but the first part. Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva Lakol. Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva. What does the Rambam mean to add with these words? We don't find that the Rambam writes Rosh Hashanah Zman Shofar Lakol, or Chagat Sukkos Zman Sukkah Lakol. What does the Rambam write Yom HaKippurim Zman Tshuva Lakol? He should have just written that since Yom Kippur is a case mechilu slicha l'fika chayavin hakol lasos tshuva. Since Yom Kippur is a time for mechilu slicha, therefore everyone has to do tshuva. That should have been enough. What's even more fascinating is that the Torah, in its treatment of Yom Kippur in Parashas Emor, doesn't mention tshuva at all. The pasuk says, "V'inisim esnafsho sechem, v'chol malacha lo satsu." It talks about the obligation to fast, the isim malacha. But it doesn't say anything about tshuva. That seems strange. When the Torah discusses the Yom Tov of Pesach, it mentions the mitzvah to eat matzah. In talking about Rosh Hashanah, it mentions the chiyuv to blow shofar. In the section about sukkahs, it discusses the mitzvahs of davening meeting and sitting in the sukkah. So why doesn't the Torah mention anything about tshuva when it talks about Yom Kippur? There's one more question that I'd like to pose. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Teshuva in Perek Yud discusses the difference between a person who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meira out of fear and one who serves him Me'ahava, out of love. He writes that Avodah Meira is not the ideal approach. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Al Tiyu Kavadim HaMasham Shem Eserav HaMenas LeKabel Pras. A person shouldn't do mitzvot in order to receive any schar, reward. Rather, he should serve Hashem Me'ahava, out of love. Says the Rambam there in Halacha Beis in Source 5, Ha'oved me'ava osig v'torah v'mitzvos lo mipnei davar ba'olam lo mipnei yiras hara v'lo kadei liras hatova ela osa ha'emes mipnei shehu emes. Someone who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love is involved in Torah and mitzvos not for any ulterior motive, not out of fear of punishment, nor in order to receive benefits, but simply he does what's right for its own sake. The Rambam continues in Halacha Gimel, V'keitzad hi ha'ava ha'ru'uya, what's the proper love? Hu sheyehav es Hashem ava gedola yisera rabba aza ad ma'od. That a person should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such an intense and excessive love Until the person is so connected to Avas Hashem that he thinks about it constantly. Like one who is lovesick, constantly thinks about the woman that he adores. This is how the Rambam concludes Hilchas Tshuva. And the question is why? The Rambam already discusses the mitzvah of Avas Hashem in Perek Beis of Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah. He writes there in Halacha Aleph, Hakel Hanichba VeHanora Hazeh Mitzvah La'avo Uliyira Mimenu Shenemer VeHata Es Hashem Elokecha VeNemer Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Source 6. There's a mitzvah to love Hashem and to fear Him. Continues the Rambam in Halacha Beis. How does a person reach this level? When a person contemplates the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His wondrous creations, and he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's limitless chachma, His omniscience, immediately he loves and praises and wants to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu even better, to connect himself to Him. The Rambam continues that this awareness also brings a person to recoil and to feel a sense of awe before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam discusses the mitzvot of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem in great detail in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. And he counts them in his heading to that section. He writes in Source 7, Yesh Bechlolon Eser Mitzvos, etc. He counts these mitzvot in that section. So why does he discuss Avas Hashem again at the end of Hilchas Tshuva? What's it doing here? These are the three questions that I'd like to address to Ezer Hashem. First of all, why does the Rambam call only Viduya Mitzvah and not Tshuva? Secondly, what does the Rambam mean to tell us with his statement that Yom HaKippurim, who's Man Tshuva Lakol, especially since the Torah makes no mention of Tshuva when it talks about Yom Kippur? And finally, why does the Rambam conclude Hilchas Tshuva by talking about Avas Hashem? Let's start with the first question. Why does the Rambam classify only Vidui as a mitzvah saseh? Why does he emphasize Vidui and not Tshuva? The Mabit writes in his Chibur Kiryat Sefer that in fact Tshuva and Vidui are one mitzvah. Both are necessary, but neither is sufficient by itself. A verbal confession is meaningless without tshuva of the heart, without resolving to change one's behavior. But thoughts of tshuva, on the other hand, are also incomplete, until a person verbally expresses his heartfelt feelings. Vidui, in the words of the Mabit, is the gemar hatshuva. It's the conclusion of the mitzvah. It's the final phase. What does vidui add to the machsheves halev of tshuva? The answer, on one level, is that through vidui, a person concretizes his feelings, and that adds a measure of seriousness to the process. Vidui forces a person to confront his averos in a more substantive way. It's not enough for him to simply realize that he's misbehaved. He has to express that awareness to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. Because translating thoughts into words, admitting one's faults verbally, makes a person appreciate the gravity of his chait. But there's another purpose to vidui. And that is, when a person verbalizes his thoughts of tshuva, that forces him to confront the root cause of chait. How so? The Rambam alludes to the answer when he describes the formulation of the vidui. The Rambam writes at the end of Source 1, Ketzad Mitzvade, Omer Ana Hashem Chatosi Avisi Poshati Lefanecha Viosisi Kach Vekach Vahare Nichamti Uboshti B'Maasai Ule'olam Enichozer L'dover Zehu Ikar Shel Vidui. How does a person confess? First of all, he has to admit that he sinned. He has to express regret, charata. He has to accept never to return to such behavior again, Kabbalah Lahaba. And the Rambam adds that he also has to say, Uboshti b'maasai, I feel embarrassed by my behavior. We're familiar with this element of busha from the beginning of Slicha, Slicha Hashem Atzdoka, V'lanu Boshe Tzaponim. And from the end of Slichos as well, Ezra HaSofer, Omar Lekonecha, Elokai Boshti v'nechamti l'harim Elokai Panai Elecha. Busha apparently is part of the mitzvah of tshuva. But it's interesting that when the Rambam describes the process of tshuva in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, he doesn't mention busha. He writes there in Source 8, Umayi ha-tshuva hu-shiyazov achotei cheto v'yosiro mimachshavto v'yigmar b'libo shlo yasei ro'ot shenema yazov rosh adako v'chein yisnachem al sha'ova shenema ki acharei shuvi nichamti. The Rama mentions Charata, he mentions Kabbalah Lahaba, but he doesn't mention this idea of Busha. Why not? Because the Rambam understood that Busha is something that's especially connected to Vidui. You see, a person doesn't naturally feel embarrassed when he thinks about doing tshuva. Only when he expresses those feelings. As Rav Twersky once commented, Busha is a social emotion. If a person trips over his shoelaces in private, he might feel annoyed with himself, he might feel frustrated, but he won't feel embarrassed. That's why the Rambam mentions busha only in his discussion of vidui. Because when a person says vidui, he's no longer in private. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Rambam himself writes, Chayev lehisvados lefnei HaKel Baruch Hu. When a person says vidui, he realizes that someone is listening. His vidui is lefnei HaKel Baruch Hu. And why is that so important? For two reasons. First of all, since the Aveira was done before Hashem, Rachum v'chanun chatosi lefanecha, the response, the tshuva, has to be lifnei Hashem as well. And the vidui has to express this awareness. But it's more than that. When a person feels busha from his Aveiros, he's one step closer to appreciating the root cause of all chait. And that is the fact that he was distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he didn't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence as much as he should have, that he forgot for a moment that Ayin Roa V'Ozen Shomaat V'Chol Ma'atzecha B'Sefer Nechtovim, that no matter where he is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching him. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, in Shara Aleph, Source 9. He says it's interesting. Hine achote yevosh ma'od lava averos lefnei b'nei adam. Person is embarrassed to do averos in front of people. V'yikolei min yargishu v'yakiru v'averosav. And he'll be shamed if people recognize that he misbehaved. V'eichlo yevosh min Hashem yizvarach. Why is he not afraid of Hashem? Zabdi Rabbeinu Yonah ein zekiyin lefihayos Hashem yizvarach rachok mikil yosav. Chait is a result of the fact that a person was distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he didn't feel Hashem's presence. He was too self-absorbed. That's why he wasn't embarrassed to do the Aver. There's an approach to problem solving that's called a root cause analysis, RCA. That is getting to the heart of an issue, to the bottom of the matter. The theory is that without doing an RCA, you can't solve a problem properly. It can fester if you only deal with the superficial symptoms. That's certainly true in the field of healthcare. If a person has a deep cavity, he has to get a root canal. Just putting a filling in won't do the trick. Same is true in medicine. You can't just put a band-aid on a serious problem. If a person experiences shortness of breath, you can't just give him oxygen. If someone has chest pain radiating to his arm, you can't just give him Tylenol. He might be having a heart attack. And the same is true when it comes to tshuva. Expressing regret is certainly important, but it's not enough. A person has to recognize why he did the Aveira. What's the root cause of his chait? Maybe that's why the Rambam counts vidui as the mitzvah and not tshuva. Because the process of tshuva can't be complete unless a person really changes his behavior. Vidui creates the potential for tshuva to be lasting, because it forces the person to confront the root cause of all chait. The lack of busha, the fact that a person didn't feel Hashem's presence when he lapsed and did the Aveira. Had he been more cognizant of the fact that Hashem was watching him, perhaps he would have been more afraid to do the Aveira. Perhaps he would have controlled himself. That's the purpose of the vidui. Vidui isn't simply the final phase of tshuva. It's the most critical phase of the whole process. Because without it, tshuva remains not much more than hopeful thoughts. That's why the Rambam defines vidui as the mitzvah, because it's the vidui that enables the machsheves halev of tshuva to have a lasting effect on the person. This is the basic level of tshuva. When a person realizes that he has to be responsible for his actions, that he has to always internalize that feeling that Hashem is watching him, and that he'll have to answer for his every misdeed. But there's a higher level of tshuva. And that is when a person reevaluates his direction in life, when he reassesses what kind of person he is, what kind of person he wants to be. What are his goals? What are his aspirations? What are his dreams? The purpose of this tshuva isn't simply to avoid punishment, to resolve to behave properly, just to stay out of trouble. No. This is a tshuva of growth, a tshuva of reaching higher, of becoming a different person. This tshuva is not just a change of behavior, it's a change of attitude, a change of perspective, a transformation of personality. Such a Baal Tshuva can truly say, in the words of the Rambam, "Eini oso ha'ish she'asa oson ha'masin." I'm not the same person as the Baal Aveira that I once was, because my values have changed. Sometimes a person experiences this higher level of tshuva when he realizes that a life of Torah and mitzvot isn't a burden, it's an opportunity, it's a gift. As the Pasuk says in Parashas Sekev, "Lishma es mitzvot Hashem Elokecha v'yasur kosav l'tov lach." The mitzvot are good for us. They give us meaning, they give us direction. It's the biggest bracha to have a Torah to guide us in every aspect of our lives. How many people live empty lives, without meaning, without fulfillment? They live for their vacations, and the rest of life is just a drag. A life of Torah and Mitzvot is a fulfilling life, not just in the next world, but in this world. The life of a Ben Torah, of a Bat Torah, is full of meaning. It's full of value. When a person realizes the beauty of a life of Torah and Mitzvot, that can propel him to do tshuva, to change his entire perspective. And sometimes a person experiences this higher level of tshuva when he contemplates how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, whether it's health, financial success, satisfaction in his family, or personal life. When a person realizes the gifts that he's received, he naturally feels the need to give back, to show his appreciation, to show his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return. Such a person will be more medakdek than mitzvot. He'll be more careful to avoid averos, not just to stay out of trouble, but to show his avas Hashem. The Pasuk says, "V'hoya ekev tishmun." If you keep the mitzvot of the Torah, then Hashem will give you all of the brachas of this world. Rashi there quotes from Chazal that ekev tishmun means, if you keep the mitzvot she'adam dash ba'akavav, the mitzvot that people step on with their heel, the mitzvot they don't consider important, the so-called minor mitzvot, if you keep these mitzvot, then you'll get real bracha. Why? Perhaps the answer is that by being careful with the details, by doing even those mitzvot that people generally ignore, we show how much we care about Ratzon Hashem. We show how much we value the special relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paying attention to detail demonstrates how much we care about that relationship. Imagine throwing a birthday party for a close friend or a spouse. Think of all of the details involved in the process. You have to choose a date, invite the person's close friends, plan a menu, think of a funny speech, buy a creative gift. There's so many things to do. And then the big day comes and you're busy setting up the balloons and the streamers, getting the food together, and suddenly it hits you. You forgot to buy your friend's favorite ice cream, mint chocolate chip. You feel exhausted and the party hasn't even begun. What are you going to do? Should you run out now and buy the ice cream? Does it really matter? So he won't have mint chocolate chip ice cream at his party. You've done so much for his party. The answer is going the extra mile, buying his favorite ice cream, shows how much you care about him. Is it so important that we be careful with every detail of every mitzvah we do? That we fulfill mitzvot behidur in the best possible way? Does it really matter? The answer is yes. It does matter. Because it shows we care. It shows we appreciate everything Hashem does for us. It shows the kind of people we are, the kind of Avdei Hashem that we want to be. There's a famous question that many have asked. Why is it that we don't talk about tshuva that much in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah? Yes, we do say tshuva, tefillah tzedaka, ma'avirin asroa, ha'gezeira, ha'poseh ashar, ledoke b'tshuva. We do mention tshuva. But it certainly doesn't seem to be the central theme of the day. It's not our focus. And that seems strange. After all, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. On Rosh Hashanah, Koboi Olam, Ovin Lefanav Kivnei Maron, every individual is judged. Every person is given a verdict for the year. It's a scary time. Wouldn't it be appropriate to do tshuva on such a day? The answer is that Rosh Hashanah really is a day for tshuva. But not a tshuva on the specific averos that we've done. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is on our direction in life. Who are we? How do we define ourselves? What do we want from life? Do we simply want all of our personal needs and desires provided for? Do we just want a sweet year, a Shana Tova Mesuka for us and our families? Is that what it's all about? Or do we really want Melocha Kol HaOlam Kula B'Chvodecha? Do we wish that there should be more Kvod Shamayim in the world? Do we want to live for a higher purpose? Rosh Hashanah is the day when we declare who we are. What's our focus? Are we self-absorbed, or are we really concerned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda? How do we view our relationship with Him? As I once heard a famous speaker say, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu just our ATM machine, giving us what we want when we want it, or do we treat Him like a friend, the best friend that we've ever had? These are the questions that each individual has to answer on Rosh Hashanah. And that's really what the Din of Rosh Hashanah is all about. The way we answer these questions determines what kind of year will be granted. The story is told about a chassid who was having difficulty with his parnasa. So he went to his Rebbe for advice. The Rebbe told him that every day that he said Hallel, that sukkis, he should have extra kavana by Yonah Hashem. And then he'd be successful in his parnasa. The chassid went home, he did exactly as the Rebbe had told him, he had extra kavana by Yonah Hashem. And he waited to see if his situation would improve. But things didn't get better. He didn't know what to do, so he traveled back to the Rebbe. The Gabbai was surprised to see him, so he asked him, what happened? The chassid told him he did exactly as the Rebbe had said, but it wasn't working. The Gabbai looked at the chassid and he asked him, tell me, by which Yonah Hashem were you having extra kavana? The chassid looked at him quizzically, by Yonah Hashem Hatzlichana, of course. The Gabbai shook his head. That's not what the Rebbe meant. You have to have kavana by Yonah Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. Too often, we think of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do for us, but not what we, so to speak, can do for Him. We're not willing to sacrifice ourselves for His agenda. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's a time when we're asked to declare our goals in life. What's our agenda? What kind of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu do we want? This is true not only on Rosh Hashanah, but during the entire period of Elul and the Yomim Noraim. People have a tendency to look at the Yomim Noraim as days when we atone for all of our excesses of the past year. We beg for mercy for our misdeeds. We ask Hashem to give us another chance, and then we get on with life. But that's not really what this period of tshuva should be all about. If used properly, this period can be a time of tremendous growth when we define who we are, what makes us tick, what drives us. Rav Moshe Feinstein comments in the Sefer Darash Moshe that this is the meaning of the Rosh Hashanah of the word Elul, Ani Ledodi V'Dodi Li. Elul isn't a time to be focused only on tshuva for specific averos, so that's obviously an important part of it. Elul is about realizing that Dodi Li,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me so much. And my life's mission should be Ani L'Dodi. I want to give back to him. I want to give him everything I can. I want to involve him in all of my life's decisions. I want his agenda to inform and to guide everything I do in life. When does this process reach its climax? On Yom Kippur. Throughout the year, it's hard for our neshamas to express themselves, because our physical bodies, with all of their human drives and desires, tend to muffle the cries of our neshamas. Yom Kippur is the day when we strip ourselves of physicality. We fast, we don't do malacha, we daven most of the day dressed in a white kippah. We feel different. In such an ambiance, mundane life doesn't seem so important anymore. We forget some of our petty differences. As we say in Tfilas Musaf, Yom Kippur is the Yom Azivas Kinovis Acharus. The jealousy and the competition that we live with during the year don't seem as necessary. The physical pleasures of life don't seem as critical as they were before. We feel elevated to a higher level. We want to connect to Kedusha, to Ruchnius. We can finally hear our neshamas calling out, Sama nafshi le'elokim le'kel chai. Ani kivas elokim li'tov. Yom Kippur is the day when we experience an aha moment. We get it. We feel the power of the day. Yom Kippur is the day when we gain a new perspective on life. Vayhi erev vayhi voker yom echad. The Medrash says, Yom echad ve'yom ha'kippurim. Yom Kippur is one day. It's the special day. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's day. Yomim Yutzaru V'lo Echad Bahem, the Pasuk says in Tilling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created many days, but there's only one day that's His, and that's Yom Kippur. This is the day when we feel Hashem's closeness. It's the pinnacle of Dirshu Hashem Behimotso. It's the day that's most conducive for a person to do tshuva, not just to improve his or her actions, but to make a wholesale change in one's perspective on life. That's really the difference between tshuva meira and tshuva me'ahava. A person who does tshuva meira out of fear realizes that he has to change his behavior in order to receive kapara, to wipe the slate clean, so he can have a fresh start. But someone who does tshuva me'ahava wants to change, because he understands that a life of Torah mitzvos is the most satisfying life that there is, and he wants a part of it. He realizes the emptiness, the loneliness that a Baal Aveira lives with. His neshama misses the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so tshuva is the natural reaction. He doesn't see it as an obligation at all. It's an opportunity. It's a gift. That's tshuva me'ahava. There are two brachas in the Shemona Esrei which talk about tshuva. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha and slach lanu. Why the need for two brachas? The answer is they talk about two different types of tshuva. In slach lanu we ask for kapara from our averos, that's tshuva meira. But in Hashiveinu we don't even talk about chait. We focus on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. Karveinu malkeinu l'avodasecha. Bring us closer to you, we say. We realize how much we've lost, how distant we've become through our actions. And we miss you. We miss you so much. That's tshuva me'ava. That's hachzireinu b'tshuva shleima lifanecha. That's a tshuva shleima. This is the tshuva HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from us. That's why we end the bracha harotza this tshuva. Yes, if we do a tshuva me'ira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. He'll forgive us. But that's not really what he's looking for. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to do a tshuva me'ahava, out of love. We generally think that whether a person does tshuva me'ahava or tshuva me'ira is a function of his initial motivation. A person does tshuva me'ira if he fears punishment. He does a tshuva me'ahava if he feels a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of the process. But the truth is, if a person takes to heart the message of Vidui, his tshuva meira can actually turn into a tshuva me'ava. if he realizes the loss that he suffered as a result of chet, if he appreciates what he's missing in life, that will galvanize him to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come closer to him. This is how the Torah wanted us to approach Yom Kippur. The goal is not just to receive kapara, but to build a new relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person can't be forced to love someone. He can't be pushed into it. It's not healthy to be pushed into a shidduch. That's why the Torah talks only about inui and issur melacha. The goal of these halachos is to create an ambiance in which a person will separate himself from the physical world just enough so that his neshama will be able to express itself and his body will feel those spiritual yearnings. When we separate ourselves from physicality, we can reach beyond our mundane drives and desires and dream of living life for a higher purpose. In such an aura, tshuva me'ava is possible. It's almost a natural outgrowth of the spirit of the day. That's what the Rambam meant with the words Yom HaKippurim Zman Tshuva Lako. Yom Kippur is a time for tshuva. It's a time that's most conducive for tshuva. For real tshuva, for a tshuva me'ava. Because when we separate ourselves from physicality, we're naturally drawn to ruchnius. We feel a desire to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live life for a higher purpose. Now we can understand why the Rambam concludes Hilchas Tshuva with a discussion of Avas Hashem. In Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. There he talks about how a person can achieve the feeling of Avas Hashem. But at the end of Hilchas Tshuva, he describes the effect that Avas Hashem can have on a person. How a person acts when he's consumed with Avas Hashem. Why does he talk about Avas Hashem at the end of Hilchas Tshuva? Because that's really the goal of tshuva. The highest level of tshuva. Real tshuva is about a relationship. It's about realizing the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a person loses as a result of chet, and working to restore that special relationship. And ultimately, internalizing the value of Avas Hashem and keeping that feeling in mind on a constant basis is the best way to ensure that a person's tshuva will taka be lasting. Thus far, we've spoken about the importance of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives and how doing so can change our entire perspective. Having a constant awareness of Hashem's presence can affect us immeasurably in so many ways. Whether it's the way we perform mitzvos, how careful we are in managing our time, the goals we set for ourselves and for our children. But I'd like to focus our attention for a few moments on two other areas. The first is the realm of midos, character traits. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, that a person has an obligation to do tshuva not only for improper actions, but for improper character traits and attitudes as well, like gaiva, arrogance, kaat, anger, eva, hatred, jealousy, kina, redifas hakavod, redifas hamachalos, redifas hamamon, pursuing honor and money and all types of material pleasure. The Rambam writes that it's much more difficult to fight these natural inclinations than it is to avoid actual averus. And we know this to be true. It's not easy to change a bad midah. And sometimes we get so swept up in the clutches of a bad midah that we act unreasonably. They tell a story that once there was a machlokas in Rabin, Chavetz Chaim's hometown, and it got out of hand like machlokas often does, until the children of one of those involved started dying one after the other. Chavetz Chaim called the father in, and he begged him to stop the machlokas before Chalila he might lose more of his children. The man looked at Chavetz Chaim in the eye and he said, "I'll bury all my children, but I'm going to be right." We call such a person a meshugana. But don't we also sometimes fall prey to a similar attitude? Is there something we can do? Is there a solution? I once heard Rabbi Ephraim Waxman point out an eye-opening chazanish which can really enlighten us in this area. The chazanish writes in a Sefer Emunah Bitachon, source 10, that people tend to think that there are different midos roles, and a person has to work on each one of them to perfect himself in each area. But the reality is, every bad character trait really has the same shorish, the same root. And that is, in the Chazanish's words, "Hahaznocha es hachaim hativiyim al malocham hativi," allowing life to follow its natural course. Imagine, someone spends the whole day taking care of the children, shopping for the family, preparing a delicious supper, and then their spouse comes home from work and takes a look at the supper and says, "Every night chicken?" What's the natural reaction? To get angry. What if your neighbor had her kitchen redone but yours isn't a state of the art? It's natural to get jealous. Let's say you come to a kiddush and all of the cakes and delicacies look so scrumptious you wish you could taste each one, but you know it's not a good idea. There are many midos roos, says the Chazon Ish, but the shorish of each one of them is really the same. Giving in to the force of inertia, to the force of nature. Says the Chazon Ish, the shorish of every good mida is going against one's natural tendencies, being misgaber, controlling oneself. This idea is so refreshing, it's so empowering, because it shows how we can accomplish so much by not giving into the forces of nature just once. By controlling oneself just once, a person is working on all of his midos at the same time, and he's leading himself on the path to a different life. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his short piece entitled Yesod HaTshuva, which appears at the end of the Shari Tshuva, quotes a beautiful idea from the Raivis. The Sfarim say that in order to be mechaper for one's averos, it's appropriate to accept hanesim upon oneself, to deprive oneself of the tanugim, the pleasures of this world. But what if a person feels that it's too difficult for them to fast? What should they do then? Says the Ravid, in such a case, the person shouldn't give up food entirely. Instead, he shouldn't eat his fill. Hageder hagadol hameula hamufla minias hamaacholos. When he still wants more, says the Ravid, when he still has a desire to taste another delicacy, he should restrain himself and hold back l'chvod Hashem. That will be his kapar. By controlling ourselves in small ways, we can begin to work on all of our midos reos, and we can show that we're constantly aware of the fact that Hashem is watching us, and that He expects us to act in a refined and a proper manner. But there's another area that we need to work on. And that is having integrity and honesty in all of our dealings, in school, in the workplace, in our private lives. We live in a world where, unfortunately, dishonesty has become the norm. Whether it's cheating on tax, double billing at work, avoiding taxes. We've become so used to it, sometimes we don't even see what's wrong about it. It's not dishonest, we say. It's shtick. How can we get beyond this attitude? How can we put yashas back into our lives? I'd like to offer three thoughts. First of all, we have to realize that we gain nothing by taking what we don't deserve. The pasuk says in Parashas Devarim, "Ki amishpat le'elokim hu." And Rashi there quotes from Chazal that this is a warning to a dayan not to rule unjustly, because mashatanotel mizeh shelo kedin atamazkikani lahachzilo. Source 12. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that whatever is taken unjustly will be returned to the cheated party. If it doesn't belong to us, if we don't deserve to get it, we won't keep it. This is what the Torah implies in Parashas Behar as well. The Torah begins the parasha by talking about the mitzvah of Shemitah, but in the middle of its discussion it takes a break from Shemitah and it talks about the Isser Ona, the Isser to overcharge when buying or selling. What does Ona have to do with Shemitah? Rav Pam explains that both Onoi and Shemitah actually revolve around the same issue. Because someone who understands that Hashem provides his parnasa will realize that Onoi doesn't pay. It doesn't accomplish anything. Because if he doesn't deserve to make that extra money, he won't keep it anyway. Ki amishpat le'elokim hu. Hashem is in control. Habeshluchim yesh lamakam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many ways to even the score. And that's the connection to Shemitah. Because the mitzvah of Shemitah brings us to the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of our parnasa. And someone who internalizes this idea appreciates that cheating, overcharging, acting dishonestly won't get us ahead. In a sense, how we deal with others in business is a litmus test. It's a gauge of whether we truly believe the message of Shemitah. This is one idea to keep in mind. But there's a second point as well. Sometimes the reason we're not completely honest in business is because we're simply swept up by the culture around us. We have to learn to be different. Avraham Avinu tells the Bnei Ches in Parashas Chayesara, Gereso Shavanochi Imachen. What does this mean? How could Avraham be both a ger, a stranger, and a toshav, a citizen at the same time? The Rav explained that what Avraham Avinu meant to say is that no matter how comfortable he becomes with Bnei Ches, no matter how much of a toshav he becomes, he'll always remain a ger. He'll always be a stranger. He'll always be different. Because that's the way a Jew has to engage the outside world. No matter how involved and how successful, how comfortable we become, we always have to be different. The less we blend with general society, the less influence it will have on us. There's one other thing we can do that can help us remain honest in all of our dealings. And that is simply bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. Thinking about Him on a constant basis. How do we do that? The Torah says about Yosef, Vayhi Hashem es Yosef, Vayhi Ish Matzliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yosef and he was successful. Vayad Unav Ki Hashem Ito, V'chol Asher Hu Oseh Hashem Matzliach V'yodo. And his master Potiphar saw that Hashem was with him, and anything he did, Hashem made successful. The question is, how did Potiphar know that Hashem was the one making Yosef successful? Says Rashi, Shem Shamayim Shogad Efiv. Apparently, Yosef always talked about Hashem. He always mentioned him. So Potiphar naturally attributed Yosef's success to Hashem. We're so afraid to invoke the name of God, the Shem Shamayim, outside the comforts of our own homes. To say, thank God, with God's help, God willing. We don't want to sound too religious, God forbid. The U.S. government isn't embarrassed to put the phrase, in God we trust, on its coins. But we feel too embarrassed to express our emunah b'Hashem. It's just not politically correct. But the fact is, when we mention Shem Shamayim, it reminds us that we're not alone. That there's a force that's watching over us, that's guiding us, that's giving us success. That awareness alone can help keep us in check whenever we have an urge to do something dishonest. We can also bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives by thinking of all of the Hashgacha Pratis that we experience on a daily basis. The Chazko Levenstein, the famous Mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, and later Rapunovich, used to tell his daughters that every day they should think of just one example of Hashgacha Pratis that occurred to them that day. He told them that in this way they'll constantly be thinking of the role HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays in their lives. We should do the same thing. You'd be surprised how many situations you can think of where somehow things unexpectedly seem to work out just the way that you needed it. The problem is we don't look for the Hashgacha Pratis in our lives, so we just don't notice it. Someone commented that the weather on the night of the Siyum HaShas was supposed to be stormy. It was supposed to thunder shower for 2 hours before midnight. Right before the Siyum started, it was still raining. The seats were wet, and they had to give out towels to dry up the seats. But somehow, as the Siyum began, the clouds dried up, and not a drop of rain came down for 5 hours. Is that Hashgacha Pratis, or what? We haven't trained ourselves to see all of the Hashgacha Pratis in our lives, so it just passes us by. We're like that businessman who circled the streets of Manhattan looking for a spot. He had an important meeting to go to, and he was hoping to net a large profit if he could close the deal. But as the time for the meeting came closer, he still didn't have a spot, so he got desperate. He looked up to the heavens and he said, God, if you give me a spot, I'll donate a third of the profits to charity. Just as he finished his short tefillah, a stretched limo covering three spots pulled out right in front of him, so he quickly looked up to the heavens again. And he said, don't worry, God, I found the spot. It's a cute story, but how many of us are just like that man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly sending us messages, but we just don't get them. The truth is, too often, we're just not listening for them. There are so many people in the Jewish community who are grappling with all kinds of challenges, whether it's financial troubles, difficulties with shidduchim, health issues. There are just so many tzaros. What's the message for us? We don't really know. Without Nevi'im, we can't know the answer. And maybe that itself is something to cry about. The fact that we don't have Nevi'im, we don't have the kind of guidance that existed at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But Chazal do give us a general message that we're supposed to take away from all of these challenges. The Gemara says at the beginning of Sota, Kosha l'zavgon k'kriyas yamsuf. Making shiduchim is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. Similarly, the Gemara says at the end of Sochim, Koshim mizonosav shaladam k'kriyas yamsuf. Making a parnosa is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. What does this mean? Was kriyas yamsuf really so difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do? Is it so difficult for him to provide parnasa and a proper shidduch for each individual? Says the Rashbam there in Sochim, at the end of Suat 15, Nafkemino lemiboy rachami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just makes it look difficult so people will daven to him. He's reaching out to us. He wants us to reach out to him. And sometimes, no doubt, the goal is not to awaken the person going through the tzara, but to awaken the others on the sidelines. The message is also for them. Sometimes the message is only for them. Same is true with health. The Gemara says in Brachas and Daf Yud, the Chizkiyo HaMelech told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hatov ve'enecha sisi. I acted properly in your eyes in a certain area. Which area? One of the opinions in the Gemara says, Shegonas Sefer Refuos. He hid the book of cures, the medical textbooks. Why? Explains Rashi there, Kedei Sheyevakshu Rachamin, so that people will daven and ask for mercy. And that seems to be a cause for praise. Apparently, one of the purposes of bringing sickness to the world is to cause people to daven, to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of our health and everything else in life as well. Why does it seem as though there are so many tzaros nowadays, even more than before? Apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out to us, to all of us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to realize, as the Mabid writes in the Sefer Beis Elokim, that Ein mi sheyimale chesrono elohu, that only He can give us everything we need. But to hear that message, we have to be listening. Reb Chatzka Levenstein once took a cab, and the driver told him the following story. Apparently it's common among secular Israelis that after they complete their army service, they unwind by touring various exotic locations around the world. This Israeli cab driver and his friends decided to spend some time in a mountainous area somewhere in Africa. One night they were awakened to screams of terror. A large boa constrictor was wrapped around one of the men, and it was squeezing the life out of him. The rest of them didn't know what to do, because they were afraid that they might antagonize the snake and then it would squeeze harder. Suddenly one of them blurted out, I know that when Jews are about to die, they say the Shema. Maybe you should say that at this time. As soon as the ex-soldier screamed, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the snake unwrapped itself and disappeared into the night. That miracle changed my friend's life, the cab driver said. Right there and then, he promised to become a Baal Tshuva, and he kept his word. Today he's a totally religious Jew. Reb Chatzkel turned to the cab driver and he asked him, Umaitcha, what about you? Me, said the cab driver quizzically. The snake was wrapped around my friend. It wasn't wrapped around me. Sometimes people don't get the message because they're not listening for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling out to each and every one of us. Uma itcha. What about you? You think all the messages I'm sending off to someone else, they're for you too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out to all of us. He wants us to come closer to Him, to bring Him into our lives. Yom Kippur is the day when His message rings louder. It's a day when we're more in tune to hear His message. Yom Kippur is the Zman Shuvah Lakol. It's the day when we realize it's time to come home. It's time to live for a higher purpose. It's not enough just to improve our actions. It's time to change our whole perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us the insight to realize what's truly important in life. May we all be zoche to a gemar chasima tova, hashnas chayim v'shomer.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Konigsberg, for a most eloquent and inspiring tshuva lecture. I want to also take the opportunity at this time to thank many of the individuals who are responsible for coordinating today's event, which was actually a joint effort combining the annual Hausman Stern Kinos Tshuva Lecture with the Arbitzfeld Kollel Yom Rishon program. I want to thank in particular Yaakov Taubis, who worked out of the Ritz office closely with Rabbi Penner, Rabbi Mark Penner, in terms of coordinating this event, Nussan Waitman and Levi Mostovsky and Nechama Cohn, who worked together with Rabbi Brander out of the CJF office in coordinating the event as well. Each one of them contributed magnificently in terms of making sure that every single detail of the planning and the logistics would be meticulously carried out. We'd like to invite everybody right now to a special collation that will be held next door in the Negel Commons area, where we will have the opportunity to make brachos for the tikkun of the neshamos of those from the Hausman and Stern family whom we are honoring today. A gemar chasima tova to all.